question I want to ask is this. Wouldn't it be great to know the mind of God and what his thoughts are? I mean, wouldn't that be something awesome? You know, the topic today is knowing your thoughts are aligned with God. Knowing your thoughts are aligned with God. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen. It's a journey. I mean, that's when the journey starts. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ and he comes into your heart, he also comes into your mind. And then you find yourself walking really in two different worlds. You're walking in the earth and you're walking in the heavens. And then you have to make a decision as you continue in this journey to, am I going to walk by the heavenly calling, the new creation man that I am, or am I going to continue on in my old life? And that's where the Battle of Armageddon begins.
Yeah. And we had a podcast on the Armageddon of the mind. So if you didn't get a chance to catch that, get on our podcast and catch it. Haven't you heard the expression, we think alike? I know probably those that are married have said that to their spouse. I know there's times when my wife and I, where she'll say something about, you know what I want for dinner? And I mean, think of all the possible dinners that are out there. And I'll go, shrimp scampi. And she'll go, that's exactly it. So, you know, we've heard the expression, we think alike. That doesn't mean we think every thought that that person has. And when we're talking about the Lord, you know, we want you to understand that, you know, we don't know every thought that God has, but I'll tell you what, we're going to show you today how you can really tune in, just like you tune into a radio station. You tune in to that frequency that is God and his frequency. He's not afar off. He's not afar off. He's very approachable and wants us to approach him daily, 24/7 actually. But we are constantly bombarded with thoughts daily. Some are good and some are bad. It's what we do with those thoughts that determine which road we go down. It is the same with processing thoughts about ourselves and about God that determine how we mature or grow and or we stay the same. Let's say we had a thought or we heard something said that we'd never heard before about God or about the gospel. So we always ask that question, Lord, does this thought line up with you? Is this thought, should I entertain it or should I let it go? Well, we're going to talk about today that these thoughts, are they of God or are they of us? And we'll be discussing that as well as other topics today here on Kingdom Building. And I'm Rich, and that's Jim, and he's in Florida, and I'm in Cincinnati. But we're here together, and we're going to start off, Jim, with Isaiah 55:8, because there's an interesting scripture here. Isaiah said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Well, I'm here to tell you that some of his thoughts can become our thoughts. Isn't that ultimately the goal, that we become one with him? So God does desire us to think as he thinks. You know, just like your kids. Don't you want your kids to kind of mirror your thoughts? I know that usually parents and grandparents have a lot of experience, and we want to impart that to the kids, and some listen and some don't. After all, we have experienced more of life's lessons and hopefully matured more along the way.
Yeah, fortunately, Rich, we don't have to know everything that God's thinking, right. And frankly, we never probably could. But all we need to know is what God's will is for Jim's life and for Rich's life.
Amen.
So, you know, all I have to do is try and stay focused on the Lord, and I can do that a good portion of the time. And I think the very fact that when you're trying to focus on Him, you're also automatically getting His mind at the same time, whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your attention on God, let me say this to you, God's definitely got His attention on you, okay? If your son comes to you in the living room and says, "Dad, I want to talk to you," you're gonna tune out everything that's going on in your mind, and you're going to turn and talk to your son. So it really isn't that difficult to know the mind of Christ. I know a lot of times the religious people love to use that verse where His thoughts are not my thought, you know, your thoughts are not my thoughts. But then God comes along, and Rich, I'm probably stepping into your territory here a little bit, but okay. But then God comes along in the New Testament, and we have a new agreement with the Lord, and that is, you have the mind of Christ now. So, you know, that doesn't wash anymore when somebody says to me, "Well, Jim, you can't really know everything God's thinking because your thoughts are not His thoughts." That's what the Bible says. But I think that that's just a carnal excuse for not wanting to submit to the will of God, because any time I've ever used that verse, the Lord has said, "Son, you have the mind of Christ. You do have my thoughts. You do know my ways. If you want to," it gets back, and I'll leave it this, gets back to the desire of the heart. What do you desire? Do you desire more of the things of this world? And God's not adverse to giving you some nice stuff, but are you preoccupied 100% of the time with things of the world, or with pleasing the Heavenly Father and walking in His love and His peace and His joy, which is really the only true peace and joy that's left in this world?
Yeah, Jim, our thoughts create our consciousness. So what is consciousness? Consciousness is knowing that we know. You have that thing inside of you that you know that you know that you know when God speaks to you or you get a word or whatever. And that's what consciousness is. It's having a sense of awareness. So is our awareness becoming a larger awareness of who He is and who we are in Him? So it's critical to incorporate the Christ mind into our thinking to realize any spiritual growth, which means our intellectual mind must yield to our Christ mind so that our thoughts are in line with God's thoughts. It's pretty easy. This or that.
Yeah.
Let me explain. We are free agents when it comes to our thoughts, meaning we have free will to accept a thought or reject a thought. So if the thought comes in, we can reject it or we can accept it. We've all done it a million times in our life. Accepting the wrong thought is what gets us in trouble. Accepting the right thoughts, the Christ thoughts, puts us on the road to maturity and living with a higher consciousness. What does a higher consciousness look like? You rise above all the lower level minutiae or trivial matters of life, stuff that used to bother you, doesn't bother you as much anymore because you have risen. We've done podcasts on Jesus saying, "Come up here." You've come up to a higher consciousness, a higher level of awareness where you can see God's hand in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I think years ago, the Lord gave me a little poem, and it's really been near and dear to my heart because I know, Rich, eventually all this talk about the mind is going to get into the will eventually,
mm-hmm.
because it always comes down to what decision I'm going to make. And God did create us with a free will. He didn't create a bunch of robots. The little prayer that the Lord gave me, I'd like to read,
sure.
And it goes like this. Oh, dear Lord, I pray this day to keep my mind while in the way, or while on the way. For as I look to you above, you fill my mind with grace and love. But when I set my sights below, my mind does tell me things of woe. And since I know your kingdom is ahead, I'll purpose in my heart to reckon my mind dead. And I'll press forward, and I'll never look behind. And I'll trust that you're renewing every part of my mind. It's a faith walk, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters, but you have to take that posture. You have to try and look to God above. And when you're turning your focus on things above, which really is turning your focus inwardly where the kingdom of God is, then you're going to start having a greater understanding of what God is saying to you. And you'll know, because the peace and the joy and the love will be there.
And, you know, our scripture is Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. You know, and Jesus prayed to the Father, make them one as you and I are one. One is one, Jim. One is one. One can't be two. One is one. There's no division. There's no separation. And we must quit seeing ourselves as separate from God. The thing that separates us from Him is our thoughts. It is difficult to see ourselves as one with the Creator. It is time we see ourselves as God sees us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, we celebrate Him who supercharges us powerfully from within. Our biggest request or most amazing dream cannot match the extravagant proportion of His thoughts towards us. Now, we all know this scripture too. Now, to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us.
Yeah.
It's in every one of you listening to our voice today. That power that supercharges us to be able to do what we're talking about today. And His thoughts towards us, folks, I'm telling you, it's wonderful. I mean, and we have to start seeing ourselves as God sees us.
Well, you know that scripture, Rich, as you're talking, it popping up and down in me is in Jeremiah, where he says, for you know the thoughts that I have for you,
yep.
thoughts of peace and prosperity, you know, a wonderful life. That's how God views you. Now, I know a lot of times man tries to preach a gospel that can really turn us off to think that, you know, God's a wrathful God, He's this, He's that. And if you want to know the will of God, very simply, and this is a conclusion I came to years ago that really gave me a greater outlook on the Lord, and it was this. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I sent my Son to reveal my will and my nature, my personality. What you see in Jesus, when you see Him, you see me. And even Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. How many times did Jesus crush or hurt anybody when He walked this earth? I mean, the prostitutes, the thieves, the tax collectors. He loved everybody. And one of the first places He went to, you know, was to the, well, I think if He was walking the earth today, He'd probably go to a bar, you know, just to help them out, because they're the ones that need to start changing some of their thinking. But, if you want to know God's will towards you, how He really sees you from His perspective, look at Jesus the way He saw people, because that is, Jesus is the manifest will of God.
Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. This is how God sees you. You may not feel like a royal priest, but you are. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, I looked up that word, Jim, peculiar, It means far more exceeding.
Yeah, praise God.
Far more exceeding. So if you're a peculiar people.
Doesn't mean weird.
What's that?
Doesn't mean weird.
No, it doesn't mean you're weird. Strange or whatever, even though people think I'm strange, but that's okay. Anyway, no, it's far. You're a far more exceeding people than those that choose to not follow the Lord. You are sons and daughters. We have a, and I'm not trying to get anybody puffed up or anything, but we have a wonderful, illustrious life that He has given us, and we have a position in this kingdom that exceeds probably what any of us could possibly imagine. So we, of course, look at that and say, well, His thoughts are higher than ours and whatever, but I think you see now that when you are tuned in to the Lord, He's going to share His thoughts with you. He wants to share His thoughts with you. And, you know, in the Old Testament, when this was written, it was all about Emmanuel, God is with us. But we are so blessed by His grace to be able to say now, Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's so much stuff out there, Jim, and there's so much, I use the word minutia earlier, there's so much minutia out there that claims to be of God. There's different beliefs, doctrines, do's, don'ts, and it's our way or the highway. I mean, how does one determine if it is of God? Well, first of all, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can approach the Father but by me. Jesus says He is the way to the Father. He didn't say that a set of rules and regulations will get you to the Father. He didn't say that organized religion will get you to the Father. He definitely didn't say that performing a certain way or behaving a certain way is the way to the Father. But isn't that what a lot of people are hearing out there?
Yeah, the Lord says, not by works, lest any man should boast. In other words, this whole plan of salvation is all because of God's grace and because of God's love. It isn't because of your works. You know, a lot of people, again, if you listen to a lot of religion, you think that if you're not working for God or doing for God or, you know, selling Girl Scout cookies, whatever the case might be, then you're probably going to fall into disfavor with God. And, you know, Rich, as we're talking on this particular show, I get real strong. The thing that God wants us to really bring out here, which we are, and that is we need, God, the Father says, you need to change my children's attitude and vision of me.
Yes.
There's been so much that have been fed to the people of God, you know, in reference to God's a God of wrath, and He's this, and He's that, and they preach all these Old Testament scriptures, which was under the law, and people need to take a new perspective on Christ, but the only way you can do it is to hear His voice. You know, we got to stop listening to the voice of all this religion that's going on out there, and some of it's good. Don't misunderstand me. We're not coming against the churches, but God didn't call you into religion. He called you into a relationship.
Yes.
And there is a grave difference. There's a grave difference there. So draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. He's already as close as He can get. Like Rich said, He's one with us. We don't understand the revelation of oneness. God has a different numbering system. You know, He says the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three are one. Well, what do you mean these three are one? Well, that comes by divine revelation too, but you are one with the Father and the Son.
Yeah, Jim, the idealism is an enemy to revelation. So what is idealism? It's the practice of forming ideas or living under someone's influence. Mm. And that's, I think there's a lot of that going on out there. Who are they? Anyone or any group who is trying to get you to believe exactly as they believe. If you have listened to Kingdom Building for long, you know that we are here to share with you what God has shared with us, not to coerce you into believing everything we believe. We believe God has called us to challenge your thinking and hopefully expand your thinking on who God really is and who you are in Him. Not what this religion or that denomination requires you to believe in order to remain in their club.
Yeah, amen.
Idealism controls folks by a religious spirit. Here's an example. A religious spirit would condemn someone for not praying enough, or not reading the Bible enough, or not coming to church on Wednesday night prayer meeting. That is a religious spirit, folks. And I was talking to a guy back a few weeks ago where, man, he had a religious spirit on his wife where he had prescribed certain things that she must do in order to be walking with the Lord. And that's not the Lord. Each person has their own walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get them to change by condemning them or whatever. You're going to get them to change by just you showing unconditional love towards them.
Yeah, amen. Because, you know, really when you come to know the true nature of God, that He is definitely a God of love and He's out for our best interest. Let's face it, folks, God controls everything. And he is a God of love, and he is not a God of law anymore, like you see in the Old Testament. This is all by grace. There was another poem, Rich, that the Lord gave me. It might be timely to read this.
Sure.
It'd be okay. It says, "The Holy Spirit speaks in this hour to reveal the Father's nature and His almighty power." And I think that's one of the things that God has called us to do, Rich, is to reveal the Father's nature. Because I think that people have such a skewed image of Father's nature. You know, the Bible says it all when it says God is love. You know,
yes.
You just need to meditate on that for a while. God is love. But the prophetic word that the Lord gave me, this poem, it says, "The Holy Spirit speaks in this hour to reveal the Father's nature and His almighty power. But many of my children cannot receive, because they embrace doctrines of men that do deceive. For many years, my church has been tossed to and fro by the winds of many doctrines that they cannot let go. But the Spirit and the Bride, you know, you are the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come, come up here. Come up here in your consciousness. Come up here and be transformed into the image of me. For it is with great desire I long to see the glory of my Son Jesus to come forth in thee. So come out from amongst them, my people, so you can see the loving Christ nature now being formed in thee." So this whole plan of salvation is about forming the Christ nature in you to come forth in the image of God. So the only way you can do that is to see Him. You've got to see the Lord in order to be to have the revelation, to be transformed into His image. You've got to see Him instead of man or whatever you're looking at. You got to see Him. Got to see Jesus.
Jim, in Matthew 23, Jesus talks a lot about, this religious spirit that seemed to be all over the body of the day of the religious leaders. In fact, he gets pretty rough with them. I mean, that's the only place I've ever seen where Jesus kind of takes them to task. And in Matthew 23:2, it says, "The religious scholars and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat as the authorized interpreters of the law." Boy, there's the key right there. You know, those religious leaders, their job was to interpret the law. Well, Jesus said, "I came to fulfill the law." And now, thank God, we're operating under His grace. But it goes on in verse 3, it says, "So listen and follow what they teach, but don't do what they do. Man, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Could that apply to today? In some cases, I think it could. For they tell you one thing and they do another. They tie on your backs an oppressive burden of religious obligations and insist that you carry them, but will never lift a finger to help ease your load. Verse 5 says, everything they do is done for show and to be noticed by others. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Hey, I didn't write this. Jim was rolling his eyes like, oh boy, we probably stepped on some toes, but hey, I didn't write this. And, you know, as always, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't pertain to you.
The religion. Yeah, if you're walking in the spirit, Rich, this is not going to step on your toes. I mean, if there's some pastor out there or somebody that's in the ministry and they're hearing this, this isn't going to be stepping on their toes because they know the word. I mean, they know Christ, okay? But the ones that are in it, you know, for fame and for glory, and it's just a career to them instead of a calling, it'll step on their toes. It'll step on their toes, but that's okay. The Lord says, step away. Keep stepping.
Yeah. Hey, we've had our toes stepped on before, and hopefully we've learned to not let that happen again, you know?
Not a bad thing, really.
Yeah, we're all on a journey, folks. We've said that many times here at Kingdom Building. We're on a journey, and nothing that you do as far as teaching and preaching and whatever can't be fixed. I mean, we're all proceeding upward, and things good. You know, things will change within you, and your thinking's going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Jesus meant. What he said, you go from glory to glory.
Yeah, amen.
You go from dimension to dimension. Yeah.
Here's the thing. The religious spirit seeks to replace the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we allow that religious spirit in, it's going to replace your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in our lives. The religious spirit leads to repentance through bad performance. So you're a bad person, you need to repent. Instead of repentance through his grace, wouldn't you rather repent through his grace than, you know, someone wagging their finger at you saying that you messed up and you need to repent?
Yeah, that's how you know the difference, Rich, if it's of the Lord or not, because if you're sitting under preaching or teaching and you're feeling condemned, that is probably not the teaching of the Lord, because the way the Holy Spirit has always dealt with me has been loving and gently, and I could take the criticism and the judgment because it came in peace, but most of all, it came in love. So I know the difference now between man's carnal preaching and the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart.
Amen.
He deals with us in love.
And you too can also. You know, some of this religious spirit stuff can promote a constant feeling of inadequacy. I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a preacher that Jim and I love, and, you know, he kind of jokingly says as a kid he would go to church on Sunday, and he, during the afternoon, he would have bad thoughts or something, and he'd have to go get re-saved at church service on Sunday night. And that's you know, that's a religious spirit, because you are not inadequate. You are growing just like a baby. Is a baby inadequate because a baby can't take care of bathroom functions all by themselves? No, because they're not expected to at that point. They grow and they mature. Also, this feeling of hopelessness instead of love. You know, many people, I'm reading articles, Jim, many people are turning from the local church now It's rare that I don't get on, you know, some kind of website or whatever that has current events where they don't talk about people leaving the church. And I think what we're talking about today is some of the reasons why people are leaving the church. And they're not leaving the church. Don't get me wrong. They're not leaving the church. They're leaving the organized church system. Big difference.
That's a good point.
Because you are the church. You're never going to leave the church. You're just going to leave this system that is man-made system that has been set up that makes you feel inadequate or hopeless or just you're underperforming. And you know, we do make mistakes, but God knows it before you even make it. We all have said that to determine if it's God or if it's not God, that you have to use the litmus test of love. That has to be your test, is love. Jesus, the way, it said he was the way. He was the most loving person who ever walked the earth. I don't think anybody could deny that. So what did Jesus say? He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. So like Jim was saying, you know, some religions, whatever, has this mean old man sitting on a cloud somewhere just ready to smack people down. And I'm telling you, if Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father, you don't see Jesus. That's not his character. That's not his nature. God is love. God is love, not following a set of rules and holding folks to a list of do's and don'ts and then condemning those that don't adhere to what's being said. So the challenge to everyone here today is do not let yourself or anyone stop you from seeking the truth. And who's the truth? It's Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said... Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Having a relationship with God is not just about joining a church, believe everything they say, and never seek more truth. Jesus is that truth, and no doctrine or belief system can contain all that Jesus is. So we need to ask ourselves this very important question. If God revealed something wonderful to you that you know that you know that you know that you heard from God, would your church, your local church, encourage or discourage you to continue to seek into that truth? That's an important question, Jim, because I think you experienced something where you received a revelation from God. And you and the preacher at the time that you the church you were at 40 years ago or whatever said, be careful.
Yeah, I always found, Rich, in my journey with the Lord in these several decades that I've been walking with God, is anytime you're coming into a new truth, there's going to be resistance from somewhere and somebody. And I think that that's something that we have to open our eyes to. Just because you come into a new truth doesn't mean that everything is just going to be just totally awesome now the rest of your days. Because I know that when I was of one faith and the Lord appeared to me in a hotel room and revealed to me that all my sins had been forgiven, I had never heard that in 33 years of belonging to this particular church. I never heard that all my sins were forgiven. I heard that they were if, they were but.
With okay. conditions.
So, go ahead.
No, but with conditions. They were if you've met the prescribed conditions that will
right.
get those sins forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was always, every time I come to, that's the reason why in my journey, I've probably been through at least a half a dozen churches, but I found out that each one of them had a truth, and I always learned, whatever denomination or whatever fellowship I went to, I always took something from it, but I always found that I was never completely fulfilled with what they were teaching me. They were godly people. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had a truth. But unfortunately, a lot of times we have the tendency to put tent pegs around a certain truth, and that's where we stop in our journey. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that. The Lord gave me a word here a while back, and it said the only way to go beyond dual thinking is to transform or get your mind renewed. And the Lord spoke directly to me, and he said religion was to teach you how to access the realm of my spirit. He said, but instead, most religions have built a container in where it traps my people. And it said, so we start worshiping the religion instead of worshiping God. And that's what the Lord asked me some years ago. Are you when he said that the church lost its first love, what he was talking about was they knew him, but they exchanged their relationship with him for religion. And I think that's the big question in this hour right now. You have to ask yourself, am I being led by the religious traditions of my forefathers, of the church I'm in, or am I being led by the revelation that Jesus Christ is giving me as I seek his face?
Led by the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's what it says.
God will never make you feel like you are falling short or feeling guilty or feeling spiritually inferior. That's not the way he encourages us. Although he will lovingly correct you. And there are right ways and wrong ways to correct a child. When God corrects you, you don't feel bad. No, you feel like you want to pick yourself up and try harder. God is an encourager, not a discourager. If not, why did he say this in Colossians 3:21? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged.
Yeah, it's good.
A father can aggravate their child to a point of discouragement. Our Father won't do that to us when he corrects us. He's not going to nag us and tell us that we're no good. He's going to encourage us to not let anything stand in the way of our calling. Y'all have a calling. You're a chosen people, like we said earlier. In Ephesians 3:19, it says, I desire you for you to become intimately acquainted with the love of Christ on the deepest possible level, far beyond the reach of a mere academic or intellectual grasp. Within the scope of this equation, God finds the ultimate expression of himself in you, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God's. What's he saying there? Awaken to the consciousness of his closeness. Separation is an illusion. Oneness was God's idea all along. So separation is not... If you feel separated from God today, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's still there. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So guess what? If you feel separated from God, it's you. It's not him. And it's a very easy path back to that oneness where that separation just fades away.
Yeah, you know, Rich, you struck a chord when you said our calling. And as you were talking, I was thinking, listening to the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, what is the calling? How can we succinctly put this in a little nutshell and feed it to the people? And, you know, I thought about that verse where Paul says, I was never disobedient to the heavenly calling. First off, the Lord wants us to understand it's a heavenly calling. It's not an earthly calling. A lot of people think, well, the calling is, I think God's called me to be a pastor. I think there's a lot of men that go into, and women that go into the ministry that really were never called in that capacity. They just feel like it's a good vocation, it's a good career, and I'm sure God will be pleased with me. And praise God, that's okay. But the calling is really to have Christ formed in you. We're a new creation, and that's the reason why God put us in the earth. And that's the reason why he put heaven in our earth. We're a very unique creation. We're the only creation that God ever made where he took a human being and put a divine nature in him. And that's what Jesus came to earth to reveal to us. Here I am, a man with a heavenly divine nature. Now you are to take on my nature. If you want to please the Father, then just start taking on my nature. But the way you're going to do that is by looking to me and not to man. So the calling really, Rich, I feel in my heart, is to come forth in the image of Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Galatians, I'm really concerned about you because you're on the right path. He said, then you started being led by the flesh again. And he says, and I've been praying for you that Christ be formed in you. That is the calling. I think it was Corinthians. He said that to the Galatians part, well, all the church for that matter.
Right.
But that's the calling, is to focus on the Lord, because when you're doing that, you will be changed.
Amen.
From one dimension, from one glory to another.
Okay, so we're kind of winding down here. Our topic today has been knowing your thoughts are aligned with God, or in other words, knowing that your thoughts are God's thoughts. It begins and ends with love. That's your benchmark. That's what determines whether you are aligned with God in your thought process. Let's say you are faced with a difficult decision. Whatever choices you make need to be placed on the altar of love. Which way leads to the kingdom and the king? Which is righteousness, peace, and joy? This is all, I mean, it's easy to determine if your thoughts are of God or they're of carnal thinking. And so if you choose those three things, then you have chosen love. And I'm telling you, your life will radically change when you start doing that, because human nature is, you know, if someone does you wrong, talks badly about you behind your back, or denies it, or borrows a large sum of money from you and has no intention of paying you, all these things that we're faced with, you know, in this life that we lead, you know, we're going to be faced with some bad stuff. And it's how we deal with that bad stuff is going to determine whether it's carnal thinking or it's godly thinking from the mind of Christ.
And you know, Rich, James says, count it all joy when you're confronted with these trials. Because I believe, at least I see now, the reason why a lot of this stuff comes my way. You know, somebody borrowing money and they, oh, I'll pay it back to your brother Jim, but they never do. All of a sudden, something raises up inside of me where I want vengeance or retribution. And that's the reason why we go through these experiences in this life, so we can see that there's an area of our life that needs to be submitted to Christ, and we need to get rid of the self in us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an exchange life. I exchange myself for Christ's self, if you will, Christ's nature. So whenever these things hit you and disturb you, understand that they're there as a blessing to help you. And treat them as friends, James said, okay?
Right.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's easy to say, Rich.
Yeah, count it all joy. In other words, when you fall into various trials and tribulations, I think it's J.B. Phillips says, don't look upon these as intruders, but receive them and accept them as friends.
And that's good.
Yeah, because what happens is if you have the right frame of mind and the right attitude, they're learning experiences. And
right, they are.
And God's clearly said, I told my grandson this week, I said, he's going through some tough times. I said, you know, Romans 8:28 says, all things, not just the good things, but all things work together for your good. I said, mm-hmm. because you are called according to his purpose. And so
we're sons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sons of God. Yeah.
So the key is to get rid of the human carnal nature and receive the Christ nature. Human nature is, like Jim said, going to be vindictive.
Self.
Yeah. While the Christ nature is loving, forgiving, accepting. It's an easy choice, but it's not necessarily easy to carry out. We've all experienced that for sure. Hearing God's voice and filtering it is a process and a journey. The filter is love, and that love is unconditional. It's hard for us to realize what that word unconditional means. I mean, there are no conditions. There's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you.
Yeah.
He practices what he preaches, folks. I mean, he's not asking you to show unconditional love if he can't do it himself.
Yeah, just look at the cross if you don't believe what Rich has just said. That's, you know, what greater love hath any man but to lay down his life for another? And that's what Jesus did, and to reveal the great love that he has. He would rather die and see us die and perish.
Yes.
It was kind of like Moses. You know, Moses said, Lord, you know, don't destroy them. He said, I'd rather have you destroy me instead of them. Moses was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. But no, there's no question that Jesus is the revealed will of God and his Father's nature.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So just kind of in summary, and Jim, if you want to close with a prayer or a poem or whatever's on your heart. But we must align our thinking with God's thinking, which can only be achieved through relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
One easy way to know if your thoughts are aligned to God's thoughts is to determine if unforgiveness is present in your thoughts. God is all about forgiveness with no conditions. Boy, that's tough sometimes. Very tough.
Yep.
That is the way he looks at us and treats us. Isn't it wonderful that he forgives us unconditionally? There's no conditions. We don't have to say anything, do anything to receive that forgiveness. He's already just forgiven us. He keeps no record of our wrongs that we commit. None. In fact,
that's awesome.
Yeah. In fact, he chooses not to even remember our sins. In Hebrews 10:16, it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them," meaning you, everyone listening. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Goes on in Hebrews 10:17. Here we go, folks. This is why they call it good news. In Hebrews 10:17, he goes on and says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That's Hebrews 10:17. So if you have someone that wants to remind you of your sins and throw them up in your face and bring up your past and whatever, tell them to go to Hebrews 10:17, because the Lord says, "I will remember those iniquities, those missteps, those sins, whatever you want to call them, no more." And you know, I love it where it says, "This is the covenant I will make with them." What is a covenant? It's an agreement. Yeah, we agree and all that. But a covenant is a legal contract. Whether you know it or not, he has not only forgiven us of our sins, but he also put it in a contract. And with God, that contract's it's never going to be broken. It's a binding contract. That's all I got, Jim. And if you have a poem or something, we got a couple, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I do have one. Actually, I have 106.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is poem number 82. And this is a word from the Lord. And the reason why I know that these are words from the Lord is because every time he has given me a word like this, it is rhymed and it's been very harmonious. And I've never written a poem in my life up until a few years ago when the Lord started talking to me when I was in my quiet time with him. And I knew that when I picked up my pen and started writing these, that this was Holy Spirit all the way.
Jim, I've known you for a lot of years and you're not an artsy fartsy kind of guy.
Long story. But anyway, this particular poem here, I think it really kind of sums up a lot of what Brother Rich and us have been saying. And it goes like this. The Lord says, in my name, in other words, you believe in his name. He says, there is no more blame. Stop blaming yourself. In my name, there's no more shame. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You can look back on a lot of things in your past life and say, oh, but I'm ashamed of that and I'm ashamed of this. You can't disappoint God because he already knows what you're going to do before you do it. Amen. But he says, in my name, there is no more shame. In my name, there is nothing but gain. Gone also is fear because we know that the Lord is here. Here in the depths of our hearts with nothing but love and wisdom to impart. So reach out in the power of my name and explain to all my creation. They have all my wisdom and my love to gain. And as you speak, make it plain that there is for them a bright future to gain. For all of life's circumstances are preparing you to reign. That's a beautiful poem.
Yes, it sure is. And God bless you. We love you. And till next time, God bless.